Those that are staying with me, while you turn to Genesis chapter 6. This is a very beautiful chapter, so if you'd stand with me, we'll read it responsively. I'll read a verse, then you read a verse, so on through the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them,
that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were there. And they took them wives, all which they chose.
And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
And it repented the Lord, and he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
And Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence.
And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon earth.
And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits.
And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with lower stand, where the Lord shall come naked.
And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die.
But if thee if I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark,
And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them.
Thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him, so did he.
Let's pray. Father, bless us as we study your word. Open our minds. Let us be sure we have your light, your truth. Give me a freedom and ease to teach that only you can give. May your Holy Spirit take your word and touch it to every heart and life that's here. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Genesis is a very interesting book. Out of the Old Testament, I've probably read Genesis and Proverbs and Psalms more than any other books. I just read them and then I'll start over and I'll read them again, you know. But actually, in far as my life is concerned, and as I've studied, I've read the New Testament 4 times, as many times as I read the Old Testament, because the way I did it was just reading, say, 20 chapters out of the New, 20 out of the Old. Well, you just complete the New Testament that much quicker, you know. So at any rate, and then too, New Testament's easy to carry. I traded my camels for a New Testament when I got saved, and man, I read the New Testament plenty of times. I'm afraid I'll forget and say the wrong thing. You'll have me caught by previous tapes. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Now I'm going to make some of you ladies mad. Don't mean to. I'm just a Bible believer. There are no female angels. Did you know that? Now some people get offended at that. I know the people that have written the Bible and God is she. But then that's not the truth anyway, okay? There are no female angels. Every angel you find in the Bible is a male. You never have a female angel. And the Bible tells us that the angels are very interested in human beings, and one of their interests is sex. Now, it says the sons of God. Now, a lot of people think that's the sons of Seth. But I believe Moses, when he wrote this, knew the difference between Seth and God. I believe he knew the word that he used. And he called it sons of God. Did you know that's used in another place in the Bible? You ever read the first chapter of Job? It says the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, who are they? Jesus got brothers and sisters? No, I don't think so. I think these are angels. They're God's created beings that he has. And we do find in one of the New Testament books like Jude and some of that just before Revelation, where there are some angels that left their first estate and they are reserved. They've got a special judgment coming. Oh, by the way, have you noticed since we began this book? It's all about judgment. No wonder people don't like it. People don't like the book because it's about you're going to get judged. You are going to be judged. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, of course you're your brother's keeper. Who else would be your brother's keeper? He's your brother. You ought to keep him. God is going to judge. Look what happened in the Garden of Eden. Here we got the first man and the first woman and the starry snake shows up. And the woman is gullible. Sorry, ladies. But I'm sorry, men. The man did not want to lose the woman, and so he sinned with her. And so, wow, all the trouble we've had. Now, I believe the sons of God were angels that were looking in on sex. Flesh, man and woman. Now, there's no procreation in heaven. We're not going to be man and wife. I think Verlin and I will be great friends. But I don't think we'll be man and woman. I think you'll be a man. Oh, that'll offend a bunch of you. I know. Okay, send your letters. You know, it's okay. I think we're going to be great friends because we were great friends here and I loved her. But these angels is what I believe. Now, some people believe it's the sons of Seth got to marrying the daughters of Cain. I don't think so. But you're welcome to your opinion. It's not a point of doctrine where I would fight anybody over it, except to say, what does the Scripture say? And all I can find is Scripture about sons of God has to be angels. What it has to be. Now, if it's... I never heard the sons of Seth being called the sons of God either or any other place. But at any rate, that seems strange to us. It's almost like science fiction. But have you ever thought about what these angels did when they came down to deal with man? They appeared as a man. You see a man. Well, there's a couple of men in the tomb with Jesus. Bright, shiny guys. But it was two men that were in there and they say, what are you seeking the living among the dead for? He's risen. He's gone. And he gave the message. What about when Samson's going to be born? Well, here's this angel. Now, the word angel means messenger. So you have your Western Union angels. still running around all over America, Western Union angels. They're messengers. They're messengers from God, and they appear as men. You remember in Sodom and Gomorrah? Two angels went down to deliver Lot and his family and all that he could get with him. And if they could just find 10, they wouldn't even destroy the city. But they were two men that the men of Lot wanted to rape. These Sodomites thought the stranger coming in here, new flesh, you know. Did you know that sex has an awful lot to do with all the problems we face in the world? Well, just take a look at your television. They're trying to promote that homosexuality is normal. It's not. It's not. But they're pushing it to where most of this younger generation doesn't know the difference and they don't want to stand up. It's not normal. What is normal? Sex between a man and a woman. That's in all the animals. When he's taking the animals into the ark, he wants a male and a female. And of the clean ones, 7 pairs of males and 7 pairs of females. I mean, they're paired up. And these angels looked at the sex drive of these men in the early days, and they wanted it. And I think they took upon themselves human bodies. I think they can do that. Every time we see them as a human body. And I think they left their first estate, their condition as God had created them. And it says they took all the fair girls that they could find. And the men that were born to them were mighty men. I can imagine so. Depending on what the genes were in that angel. So anyway, you can accept that or not. I just thought I wouldn't skip it, since it's a good point that we have right in here. Now, it says there were giants in the earth in those days. And when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, sons of God, daughters of men, they bare children to them which became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So they had a distinct advantage. And they took multiple wives, probably had a lot of children. Could have been some of the problem of the people before the flood. Now, look at verse 5. I'm going to read 5 through 8 again right here just for a minute. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. Has anything changed? Do you have to fight wicked thoughts? I do. I have wicked thoughts. When you make me mad, I might think some real wicked thoughts. Now, since I've been saved, I have not cussed. I think I'm telling the truth. But in my mind. In my mind. Those words have never left me. And when I get mad, my mind will throw up what I want to say to them. I have a temper. Do you? Some of you sweet little ladies got a wicked temper. My wife had a temper. She could get mad. I could offend her. And she'd let me know about it. You know, I get that little letter on my pillow. Hey, I had a lot of fun with her. We have lustful thoughts. I don't think there are many men that do not have lustful thoughts. I think even today, many, many women have lustful thoughts. Which, me growing up a boy and a man, I didn't think about the girls being as wicked as I was, you know, or as lustful as I was. But I do think that in our day and age, many of them do. And it's hit with us, we're hit with it every day, every way.
Amen.
What I understand is what they're going to try at this year's new television programs, they're going to try more nudity because Europe. what I've been told from my soldiers and others that have been over there, that they just have complete nude advertising and nudity right on the television. Well, as stupid as it is, we seem to follow Europe. Have you thought about that? We do. We seem to think they have it better. They don't have it better. Nobody ever had it better than what you had it right here in America. Nobody.
Thank you, Lord.
Nobody in the world. This is not a perfect country, and a democracy is not the perfect government. The perfect government is the kingdom with Jesus Christ as King.
Amen.
That's the one I'm looking for.
Amen.
But until He comes back, I'd like to be in a democracy like America. Amen. Now, it says right here, he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man. Now, I don't think God has ever been caught off guard. I don't think anything has ever happened that surprised him. He knew what was going to happen before he did everything. He's that smart. He's that big. And in fact, the longer I live, the bigger God gets to me. Science brings up some new thing like DNA, and I think, wow, God's a lot bigger than even I thought. And I think big about God. I really do. I am in awe of God. I think sometimes, I sure would like to ask God that question because I can't find the answer for it in the Bible. Now, when I get there, I'm not even going to worry about that. I won't even think about that. I'm going to fall down and say, whoa, how great thou art. Because He is great. I mean, if He spread the heavens out with a span of His hand, how big is He? Is there any building you can build to contain Him? No. God is the super intelligence, super brain. And for people to think all these things came about by accident, you talk about really being out of your mind. You know, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, the atheist says it aloud. That's how big a fool he is. See, the fool, he just says, there's no God, and he's not watching me, and I'm not going to have to pay for this. Well, they sure haven't read the Bible because everything about this book is judgment. They get judged. Adam and Eve get judged in the Garden of Eden. Cain and Abel get judged outside the Garden of Eden. The whole world gets judged right here when we get to Noah. And most of them die. Every imagination, doesn't that seem a little extreme? Every imagination? Well, you know, I've been doing this 57 years, preaching. And you know, even when I'm preaching, my mind's working on another level. I'm preaching, but there's thoughts coming and they're going and whatever. And my stupid pride, oh boy, I'm going to preach a great sermon. I'm really going to knock them out of their seats, you know, whatever. And God's saying, I can't bless you. Why? Because you're too proud. If I blessed you, you'd get even more proud. So, what I'm saying, even we pray. Do you pray and your prayers are all real spiritual and real good and real great? No, the imaginations of my heart, even when I'm praying, aren't pure. I don't think yours are either.
Amen.
So it's the grace of God that He ever answers a prayer.
Amen.
It's God's grace that He saved us. It's God's grace that He chose us. It's God's grace that He ever answers a prayer for us. And it's God's grace if He lets you live a wonderful life. And boy, I have done that. So it's interesting to me. He's saying it was a wicked place. Only evil continually. Repented the Lord that He had made the earth, made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. Does he have a right? Yes, he does. I have built many a thing and destroyed it because it didn't meet up to my standards. I have written many a sentence and crushed it up and thrown it away because it did not meet my expectations. And if God wants to, He can certainly destroy you. And by the way, your life is in His hands.
Amen.
I personally thought Verlene would outlive me 20 years. All my life. Never thought I would be alive with her dead. But death and life are in the hands of God. They're not in your hands or mine. We don't get to make choices like that. I used to think my brother-in-law Ralph, died at 50, but he sure died an easy way. He just ate supper, sat down to watch television, and died. Boom. You know, I said, well, Ralph may not have known how to live too well, but he knew how to die. Because that sounds good to me. Verlene was about half mad at me because one of the trips I took her to the hospital was, she says, the doctor told me how close she was to death at that time. And he said, if you just waited 30 more minutes, she'd have been dead. And she said, oh, Lyndall, it was so easy. She's about half mad at me because I took her to the hospital and saved her life for a few more months. She said, oh, that was an easy way to go. I like an easy way to go. I'm voting for that. You know, like a massive heart attack, just like that right there. I'd like to go that way. Anyway, excuse my thoughts. Like I said, you know, I've been telling you about how even being a preacher and praying about this all week long, and then my mind just gets to flying. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
What a sentence! What a blessing! Noah, what is about you? Well, he's a perfect man in his generation. He's a righteous man in his generation. He's a preacher of righteousness in his generation. He's a pretty good guy. You and I would approve of him. You and I would say, Noah is a good man. You and I would say, man, that's a good guy. But you know how he got what he got? He found grace. Don't ever get so proud you get too big for grace. Don't ever get to teaching some doctrine so big that it gets bigger than grace. There's nothing bigger than grace. Nothing. God favors you? Has He favored you?
Amen.
Oh boy, He's favored me.
Amen.
Has He favored you?
Thank you, Lord.
Do you have this day of life day? Are you older than some brother or sister? Or are you older than your family? That's the grace of God. If He gave you this day to be able to wake up and to read the Bible and to examine some other things, you ought to be thanking God. You know what you can do in life? You can enjoy. I do enjoy. I know maybe some of you are very unhappy people. You don't enjoy life. I enjoyed school. I enjoyed skipping school. I enjoyed playing sports. I enjoyed dating. I've enjoyed having kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. Just don't have enough great-grandkids that are male with the name of Kincaid. You guys work on that. I enjoy life. I've had a good life. I wasn't born in a mud hut in Guatemala. I wasn't born in Africa.
Thank you, Lord.
I was born to poor Christian parents right in Texas in the middle of the Bible Belt.
Amen.
There was a Bible in my house my whole life.
Amen.
Wow, I'm saved.
Amen.
I've been born again.
Amen.
I'm a child of the King. I'm headed for heaven where there's no pain and there's no sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're not saved, you ought to get saved.
Yes, sir.
If you're not sure you're saved, you ought to get sure you're saved.
Amen.
Find the grace of God in your life. I bet it's there. If you'll open up your eyes to it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at 6:14. I'll go back just a minute, but make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set on the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. I, even I, do bring a flood of waters. Probably on the internet, you can find a picture of a modern day rebuilt ark somewhere over in the Netherlands. I've seen it several times. I've not seen it physically. I've seen the pictures of it several times. Some rich guy decided to build an ark, just like the Bible says it is. And I think he did a pretty good job, tell you the truth. Now, what are these dimensions? Well, a cubit is this. Now, that my cubit is different than your cubit. But at least if I'm building, my cubit is the same every time I go. So it's about 18 inches, probably 18 to 21 inches, but I figure 18 inches. If you figure a cubit at 18 inches, how long is this barge, this ark, going to be 450 feet? How long is that? Take a football field and you have 1.5 of them long. That's a big boat. That's a big boat. It's going to be 75 feet wide. Now, a football field is 50 feet wide. So, half again. Football field width and a half. And the height, 45 feet. Three stories. A door in the side. And a window at the top. There is no motor. There's no fuel. There is no rudder. There is no sail. They can't guide it. They can't do anything but float wherever the water and the wind puts them. But that's the ark. Isn't that something? I think it is. That's one tremendous boat. Now, how do you get all those animals in there? That has to be God. You talk about a lot of work, though. That was a lot of work. Let's go back and look at what God said. He said in verse 3, "Yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, that's not saying from here on in man's going to live to be 120 years old. Everybody's going to get 120 years. Abraham had 185. And you've got others. Something happened dramatically. I think the most dramatic thing that's ever happened to the earth is the flood. You have all these men living 900, 800 years. It doesn't tell us about the women. Sorry, women, they weren't just that important in those days, okay? They don't mention many of them. But don't get offended at me. I didn't write the book. I do read it, though, okay? But you got all these men living 800 years. Why? Well, first of all, because they were closer to perfection. Their bodies were closer to the created one. Adam and Eve were perfect. They don't have a flaw. I got lots of flaws. I was born with hay fever and sinus problems. And you know what? I got short legs and a long body. Somebody's walking around with my legs. These hands, they're real big, but they got short fingers. I got big hands. My ring finger would not fit on my dad's little finger. That's how big his hands were. You know something? I think it's very interesting what we have here. The earth is corrupt with, I think, sexual corruption and violence. And that's exactly what we have today. You know, it's scary. It's a scary world out there. I took, our family for years has taken like a family vacation together at the lake, and we camp out and sleep in tents and whatever, and fish and swim and ski and barbecue and eat and do all sorts of things. Just have a great time of fellowship. And now I don't know why I was telling you that. But at any rate, what we have in the world today, oh, I don't remember now. We had some skunks come around and some coons come around and scratch on the tents. Some of them chewed a hole through the tents and ate some of the food. Well, one of my grandsons, you know, from Brooklyn, New York, He said he'd rather walk nights in Brooklyn than to sleep in a tent in Texas. Well, to me, a skunk or a coon, or that's all right. I can handle that. I don't want to walk nights in Brooklyn. I'm sorry. I don't think so. But that was his feeling on it, you understand? Okay, what we've got here is the animals, 7 pair of clean animals and 1 pair of unclean animals. Now, the way I am, all those animals coming into that ark, that would have been a sight to see. And I don't think he could have done it. I don't think Noah could have went out and gathered them all up. Not even in 120 years. I think that has to be a movement of God. God moved upon these animals and brought them into the ark. Now, we have an interesting thing. Look at Hebrews 11:7. I get to chasing rabbits and I lose my space lots of times, my place. You never do that, do you? Genesis 11:7 says something about Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Wow, you know what it said about Noah? He had faith. He had faith, and God gave him grace. I don't know if those two always worked together, but they worked together right here, didn't they? Sort of worked in my life. I can see the grace of God in my life long before I got saved. Maybe you can too. Notice what he said, being warned of God. Well, you know what I do as a preacher? I read this book and I take the warnings of judgment and the warnings of trouble that are going to come your way, and I do my best to make them clear to you. That's what I've been doing now for 57 years. What I understand, I don't have anything great. I'm just preaching the book. I just read what it says and apply it. And I think that's my job. I think that's my only job. My job is not necessarily entertaining you. My job is not necessarily making friends with you. My job is not necessarily being liked by you. My job is to study the Word enough that I understand what it's saying as best I can and apply that, preach that, encourage you in that. And if I've done that, I think I've done my job. And how do people get saved? They believe the Word and they call on the Lord. I believe the Word, I called on the Lord. You believe the Word, you call on the Lord. You're not trusting me, you're trusting the Word.
Amen.
So my job is to look at it, see what it says, and see if I can make it plain to you. That's what I try to do. It's a very simple job, actually. But sometimes it has some problems with it. And sometimes maybe I don't understand it well enough. I can understand that. But this is pretty clear. By faith. Is that a big word? Oh, that's a big word. You talk about a big word in the Bible? Just study faith. Just study faith. Beginning to end. Study faith. God loves faith. God rewards faith. God answers faith. God lets faith work in your life. God wants faith. So the guy that says, if I see it, I'll believe it. Well, you know, we got examples from the Bible. They saw, but they didn't believe. Their belief didn't last very long. Jesus preaches 3.5 years. Multitudes of crowds follow him. Plenty of them think he's great. He's the Messiah. He's whatever. What, he ends up with about 120 people in an upper room. That's all he's got left when the persecution goes flying around and he dies, all of a sudden there's just 120. That's not many. Not for a 3.5 year ministry. That's not many. But what it says about Noah, here's something about Noah. Being warned of God. Do you take warnings?
Amen.
Some people don't. Some people do not care how many times you warn them. They're just going to go out and do what they're going to do. But Noah, He heard from God, it's going to rain. Now, by the way, it hasn't rained, ever rained. He'd never seen rain. He'd been 600 years old, he's never seen a rain. How was the earth watered? It was like a giant terrarium. I don't know what was in the atmosphere, but the water just came up and like dew and watered the whole earth, and it was very rich and whatever. But there was no rain. Hadn't been any rain at this time. And God said, there's going to be rain. God said, I am going to bring a flood on the earth, and I'm going to destroy everything. But Noah, build you an ark. Here's the kind of ark I want you to build. And Noah moved with fear. Now, some people don't like fear. And they think of fear as not being reasonable or whatever. Oh, you're a Christian. What have you got to fear? I got a lot to fear. I got the fear of dropping an anvil on my toe. I got a fear of having a car wreck. The reason why I quit riding motorcycles was because I got afraid of those accidents. I remember the last time I rode my motorcycle and I slid it up to that car. Biggest station wagon I ever saw in my life. It covered the whole road. And I laid that motorcycle down and slid up, and I was within an inch of it. And I got up and I checked my knees and I thought, they're still here. I got up on it, rode it back home, put it up for sale. Yeah. I got a lot of things I fear. I fear pain.
Amen.
I don't like pain. How about you? I fear embarrassment. I fear of making a fool out of myself. I fear of sinning so that I make a mockery of God. I fear letting him down. I've got a lot of things I fear. Noah feared for his life and the life of his wife and the life of his children and their wives. That's what he feared. He moved with fear. That's not a bad move. You know that's how I got saved? I moved with fear. God, all of a sudden, brought the consciousness of sin to me. I'm looking at my oldest son, not quite a year old, and I'm thinking about how good a man I knew my daddy was. And the way I lived. And boy, I got a conviction of sin. And then I repented of my sins. And I'd always believed there was a God. Evolution just never did fit my mind. And I called on God out of fear. I don't want to go to hell. I believed in a heaven and a hell. I believed the Bible. I believed the message that it gave was true. I knew enough of it. I knew the general tenets of it. I didn't know much of the Bible. But I knew there was a heaven, there was a hell, there was a Christ, there was a Savior, and there were sinners, and there was judgment.
Amen.
That's what he did. He moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. If you're here today and you're not saved, you better move with fear and save your house. You better wake up and say, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, have mercy upon me. That's what Noah did. He said, Lord, I believe you. I believe you're going to bring a flood. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. You know how it is on some tests that you have in classes? If everybody fails a test, the teacher knows it's a bad test. But what if one little sucker aces it? One little smart kid just gets everything right. Well, that ruins all of your expectation. Teacher's not going to do a thing. If that one could learn it, you could learn it. Isn't that right? Do you know what Noah did? Noah proved the one righteous man of faith that was got grace and all the world is condemned. Because if Noah could do it, you could have too. If Noah moved with fear, you could have too. The Bible says the Bible describes him as a preacher of righteousness. I'll read, well, let's go ahead and read that. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Wow. He's not only a man that was saved by grace, he's not only a man that moved with fear and saved his house, he's a preacher of righteousness. Now, how long did he preach? I think 120 years. I think that 120 years, God is saying from this point right here, I'm telling you, Noah, and the world's got 120 years, that's how long you got to build your ark. Get the food ready. Because I'm going to bring the animals in, and I do bring a flood. Because that 120 years doesn't match our lifestyle today. It doesn't match the lifestyle of anybody in the Bible except Moses. And it's, you know, a lot of other people had a lot of different ages there. But when that flood came, it changed the earth. Now, we have rain all the time. And we have, I think, a different atmosphere than what they had then. And I think the reason why we don't live as long, one of the reasons is because of the atmosphere that's out here and the sun's rays that come down upon us. And so that we live in a very different society than what they did before the flood. But the flood changes the whole world. Was it a universal flood? Did it flood the whole earth? Well, the Bible says so. So you know what my answer is going to be? I believe the Bible.
Amen.
I don't believe some scientist who hasn't lived long enough. There's nobody from back there except what we have here. This is the only record we got. You want the apostles' doctrine? It's the New Testament.
Amen.
When you say, I believe in the apostles' doctrine, I believe in the apostles' creed, I believe in the apostles' teaching, it's the New Testament. That's your authority. You don't have any other authority.
Amen.
You can go to some archaeologist or you can go to some unbeliever. You can go to some of these college professors and some of these religious teachers. I've seen some religious teachers. I don't know why they're teaching religion because they don't believe anything. They don't believe the Bible. All they do is make fun of the Bible. What does it say? He was a preacher of righteousness. So I believe for 120 years this world heard a preacher by the name of Noah. I don't know how many got to hear him. I don't know how far his message went. But it looks like he didn't have many converts except his three sons and their wives. So we got eight people. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Hey, Peter. He says, the end of all things is at hand. He's talking about the end again. The end of all things except for some animals and eight people got destroyed in the flood back there. And God said, I'm not going to destroy the world by water again. No, if you're reading Revelation, it's going to be by fire. It's going to be by fire. It's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. But it says in verse 7 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The end of all things is at hand. We ought to have a lot of charity between ourselves because the end of all things is at hand. You think, oh, I'm going to live to be 90. I'm going to, boy, my grandchildren will go out and my great-grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. Man, we're just going to extend way out there. No, no, no. The end of all things is at hand. That's what he said at Peter 2,000 years ago. Well, if it was at hand then, it's at hand right now. You know, all it has to say is just, God says go. when God's time. Now, I know I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I figured that out in the times I thought I knew what was going to happen. And I know better than that now. That doesn't mean I'm not going to make some sorry predictions sometimes, but I do know better than if I predicted it, probably not going to be that way. God has got things in His hand.
Amen.
Is anything today like the days of Noah? Well, there's another passage in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Personally, I think there's a whole lot of sexual corruption in our society.
Amen.
And it's around the whole world. It's not just American or European. It is worldwide. There's a lot of slavery having to do with sex today around this world. And it's wicked.
Amen.
Well, Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Now, that's not an indefinite statement. That's a pretty direct statement. What does it say? Heaven and earth shall pass away. Hey, they're going to get destroyed. Not going to just be the earth this time. Heaven and earth. But my word shall not pass away. What can you hang on to? The word of God.
Amen.
The word of God. I love it. I love it. This is my book. I love it. I trust the words. They've been the greatest joy of my life. They've given me an understanding. They give me hope. They give me joy. My word shall not pass away, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no. Not the angels of heaven, my Father only. It's just like life and death. It's in the hands of God, and this right here is in the hands of God. You can't rush it. You can do all you want to, but you can't rush it. God will do it when He gets ready to do it. He's God. He does as He pleases. You don't control Him. And He's not worried about your little problems. I know your problems are big to you. Mine are big to me. But they're so little. They're so minor in the scheme of things. And then my troubles and my pains, what do they compare to what some other Christians are suffering all around the world today? And they are suffering. They are suffering. They're going through things I do not want to go through. I don't want to see my kids go through. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, how were the days of Noah? It was corrupt and the earth was filled with violence. If I just take these two things, is the earth corrupt today?
Amen.
Do you have a politician you really love? He's probably corrupt. My daddy had the idea they're all crooks, just vote for the smartest one. You know, I don't know that he was right, but he was a pretty smart fellow. As the day of Noah were. Well, what was the day of Noah like? Noah was a violent place. The earth was a violent place and God was sick of it. The earth was filled with sexual corruption, probably political corruption, judgmental corruption, all sorts of things. Even so, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said when He comes back, the earth's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Well, we know what that's like. And you and I, we're very well informed people because of the television and the radio and the printing press and whatever. We know what happens all around the world almost as soon as it happens. And some of it is just absolutely scary. Some of it is absolutely, it just blows your mind. I think of all the laws they have on trying to buy guns or whatever. But you know, all the crazy people aren't locked up. And these people are cowards and they're crazy. They go to shoot babies. They go to shoot unarmed people. They're not attacking somebody like some great soldier. No, they're just nothing but stupid cowards and they're a little bit crazy. And we don't have them all locked up. Well, are there a bunch loose out there? Right this day. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now notice verse 38. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Hey, they're having parties. Marrying and giving in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. I don't know what Noah's sermons were like, but I believe he preached for 120 years. And the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. They didn't pay any attention to him. They went right on with their life. They were not moved with fear. They did not move to the saving of their house. They did not repent and seek God. They went on marrying and giving in marriage, throwing parties, barbecues, having everybody over. It was a fun time till the day that Noah got in the ark. Going to be that way again. It's what he says. What's going to happen when Christ comes back? Same exact thing. Going to be marrying, giving in marriage, having a big wedding and a big party, having barbecues, having people over, going fishing, having a great time, and don't know it's the last day before the coming of the Lord. Look at verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. My time is up. God bless you. I enjoyed it.